This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Christian perspective on the news does not necessarily reflect the opinions of Radio K Pulpit or the on-air presenter, but is the independent viewpoint of the individual contributor. Please send an email to info@kpulpit.co.za should you have any further inquiries.
Christian perspective on the news.
Fridays, we spend quality time with Dr. Peter Hammond, the founder of Frontline Fellowship, the Reformation Society, Africa Christian Action, and the William Carey Bible Institute. I'm on the mailing list of Africa Christian Action and the Reformation Society. Good morning, Dr. Hammond. It sounds like a really busy season for you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much, Brad. Well, right now, Davos, the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum, meeting in Switzerland since the 19th, ending today on the 23rd. And incredible, this globalist entity, World Economic Forum, you know, they're the people of you will own nothing and you will be happy, you know, those characters. Well, if you want to understand Davos and the World Economic Forum, you need to read Revelation 13. Revelation 13 warns us of a beast that seeks to create a one-world government, a one-world economic society, and a one-world interfaith religion. And this year, it's like throwing the cat amongst the pigeons, because President Donald Trump, who's an anti-globalist, it was actually on the speaker's list on the podium giving a plenary session lecture, which was basically attacking everything they stood for, kicking the box out from under their feet, pulling the rug out from under their feet, as the case may be. He committed, you could say, blasphemy in the sense of what the New World Order's religion is, speaking against the climate cult, speaking against their economic ideas, promoting free enterprise, promoting nationalism as opposed to globalism, and standing up even for Christian values. Now, when you look at a Revelation and the picture of the beast and what the globalists try to do, we can see, for example, Revelation 13, verse 8, all who dwell on earth shall worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who understands calculate the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man. His number is 666. Mm-hmm. Now, the globalists have been pushing their anti-Christian agenda for a long time, and it's wonderful to see resistance. And they're very sinister forces. We can see Hollywood is spewing out vast amounts of blasphemy in a great variety of films, as the Bible warns us that the beast will blaspheme God, and he will attack the saints who are in heaven now, and he's going to be working to undermine even your freedoms when it comes to travel and purchasing. You won't be able to buy or sell without their central control, whatever mark that might be. Now, in the past, we've seen it. The king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, attempted to achieve world domination and impose an idolatrous religion on all his subjects. And on the plains of Dura, a massive statue of gold and idols, 90 feet high, was set up. And all people, all nations, all languages were commanded to fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever didn't fall down, worship would be thrown into a fiery furnace. And yet Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the three friends of Daniel, they stood up straight. When everyone else bowed down, they stood up straight. They would not prostrate themselves before the idol. They would not bow, they would not bend, and they would not even burn. Nebuchadnezzar warned them that they must bow, and they said, our God whom we serve is able to save us, and he will. But even if he doesn't, we still won't bow before your idols, nor will we serve your gods. And these three courageous young men were bound hand and foot, cast into the middle of the fiery furnace, and the men who threw them in were incinerated by the intensity of the flames. Yet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked unharmed in the midst of the flames. And Nebuchadnezzar saw a fourth person with them in the flames, like the Son of God, Well, I'm sure he wasn't just like the Son of God. He was the Son of God. Mm. The Lord doesn't always preserve us from all of our trials, but he does. He is with us in it, and he preserves us through the trials. Just like Noah was not preserved from the flood, but in the midst of the flood, and Moses and the Hebrews were not spared from the Red Sea, but they were taken through the Red Sea. God didn't airlift them over it or around it, but he took them through it. And many times we've got to go through the fires. But during the Roman Empire, you saw it again. The Emperor Nero, Caesar Nero, commanded everyone in the empire to worship him, and they had to burn incense before an idol of Nero. And if they refused, they were not allowed to buy a trade, sell in the marketplace. They couldn't trade. And they had to take some of the ashes of the incense they'd burned before his image and place it on their foreheads or on their hands to show they'd done their duty of worshiping the state. And remember, Christians were not persecuted in the Roman Empire for worshiping Jesus. They were polytheists. They were persecuted for refusing to worship the state, the Caesar, the head of the state. And during the French Revolution, there's another attempt to impose blasphemous secular humanist religion on all. The Soviet Union attempted to do it. They even destroyed over 48,000 churches, demolished, confiscated, or destroyed under the dictatorships of Lenin and Stalin. Tens of millions of Christians were slaughtered in the territories controlled by the Soviet Union. Yet we see how they failed as well. And Satan's got his tactics. Mm. And many people are focused on how the mark would be placed on the right hand, perhaps by a tattoo or perhaps by a microchip. But while all these methods are possible, but the emphasis of scriptures on our way of thinking and our actions. We commanded in the word of God to bind his law on our hands and on our foreheads. And this is surely speaking about having a way of thinking governed by the word of God and having our actions governed by the word of God, as in Deuteronomy 6. But many people have the mark of the beast on them without any tattoo or microchip. When your way of thinking is conformed to the world, and when your actions aren't conformity to what Satan wants, then you have the mark. We're commanded in Exodus 23, verse 2, you shall not follow a crowd to do evil. And it's so important that we resist. We need to be those who stand firm. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Mm-hmm. He shall be like a tree planted by streams of water that brings forth its fruit in season. Whatever he does prospers. And so we need to be those who resist. We must obey God rather than men. That's what the Apostle Peter declared before the Sanhedrin. And there's so much in the scripture to encourage us. This battle we will win. Satan will lose. The World Economic Forum, Davos, they are finished. They are history. They have shot their bolts, and the time has passed that we're going to listen to those characters. Satan will have to come up with another instrument. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. We read in Psalm 72, verse 11, all kings will bow down to him, to Christ, and all nations will serve him. Mm. And the earth will be as filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2:14. So we need to be resisting the globalists, their one world religion, their one world economic system, their digital ID, all their different ideas of wanting to control us and to stifle religious freedom, to suppress independence and decentralization. Mm-hmm. They want centralization, totalitarianism, one world government, one world religion. Well, we say no. And 1 Corinthians 15 gives us a great encouragement. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, dear brethren, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And so, as Davos concludes today, let's praise God for a victory, that someone had the courage to stand up before these globalists and read them their fortune and let them know we will not comply. We've got a better way, and decentralization and free enterprise and freedom of thought and freedom of religion are absolutely essential. That's what we stand for. Praise God, He gives a victory. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you.
The voice of Dr. Peter Hammond, the founder of Frontline Fellowship, the Reformation Society, Africa Christian Action, as well as the William Carey Bible Institute. Thanks so much for your time and energy this morning, Dr. Hammond. Until we connect again next week, have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, Brad. God bless.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.